The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought in who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave his loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized him, started to choke him, and demanded, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master to report the whole affair. His master summoned him and said, You wicked servant! I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? So in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart. When Jesus finished these words, he left Galilee and went to the district of Judea across the Jordan. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday we pondered Jesus' words about what we call fraternal correction. That if a brother or sister wrongs us, we're to go and point out that fault, precisely so that we'd be able to re-enter into communion and not let that fault do what the devil wants, which is divide. But a fraternal correction isn't enough. There also has to be the forgiveness, which is part of reconciliation. And so immediately after Jesus' words on fraternal correction, St. Peter, recognizing what would also be needed, say, how many chances do I have to give my brother? How often must I forgive? Now the rabbis of the time, based on a misinterpretation of the prophet Amos, thought that you had to forgive three times, but not a fourth. That God would be merciful for three times, but not four. And so we're supposed to be like God, and so we give people up to a fourth chance, but not a fifth. Peter, in a sense, wanting to be generous, took that figure of three forgivenesses, multiplied it by two, added one for a cherry on top, and said, as many as seven times. Jesus' plan on that said, no, not seven, but 77s. Whether that means 70 plus seven or 70 times seven doesn't really matter. Huge, big number. We're not going to really be keeping score if we're forgiving somebody a 78th time or a 491st time. It's meant to be infinitely forgiving. We're called to love others as the Lord has loved us first, and that's the point. To be merciful as our Father is merciful. And to help us with that, Jesus gives us, I think, one of the most important parables of all that most people don't ponder enough, of the two servants, the two debtors. The first debtor was brought into the king. The king obviously represents God. And this person owed, the translation here is a huge sum. The actual amount that St. Matthew had written was he owed 10,000 talents to the owner. A talent is 6,000 denarii, and a denarius was one full day's wage. So basically, 10,000 talents was 60 million days' wages. In order to pay it back in full, as this servant said, it would have taken him 164,272 years. Just give me time and I'll pay you back to the full, because I'm planning to live to be 165,000 years old. But the master was touched. He didn't only give him time. He forgave the entire debt. Fell down in worship, in a sense, before him. And the master's bowels exploded. That's what the word means. He was sick to his stomach at the appeal of his servant, and he wiped out the entire debt. What would that be in today's money? Let's just say the person was making $100 a day, 12 and a half bucks an hour. That would have been a $6 billion debt. Totally wiped out. This person was rich in mercy, forgiven $6 billion. Then he goes out, and another servant owes him 100 denarii, 100 days' wages, at the same rate of $100 a day, only $10,000. But this person has been forgiven $6 billion. This other owes him $10,000, comes and he does the exact same gestures. Have macrothumia with me. Just be long-suffering with me and I will pay you back to the full. And this is a bill that could have been paid off in 3 months. The exact same actions, the exact same words, at some point must have triggered in the same guy, boy, he sounds just like I did yesterday. And instead, what was the reaction? Was his bowels exploding with mercy? Of course not. He takes the man and he starts to choke the man to death, saying, pay back what you owe. The other servants threw him in prison till his family would come up with the money. The fellow servants, not as tattletales, it says they were saddened to the core. And they went to the king, who had set a standard of mercy, and explained what had happened. And he called that first servant back and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you fell down before me and begged. Should you not have had similar mercy on your fellow servant as I had had pity on you? And then he was going to hold him to the entire debt because he refused to receive the Lord's mercy in order to share it with others. And Jesus has quite a punchline. So will my heavenly Father do to you. So will my heavenly Father do to me and to you, unless each of us forgives his brother, not with our lips, but from our heart, from the core of who we are. That we will have our heart explode out of mercy for others, just like the king has his heart explode for us. Two things we've got to grasp from this parable. The first is the debt that our sins incur. A lot of the times we think all our sins are venial, easily forgiven, no big deal. We think that they're peccadilloes, tiny little sins. Our gossip is not a tiny little sin. The anger that we harbor is not a tiny little sin. Our foul language is not a sin. The sins of our heart, the sins of our flesh, not little sins. Each one of them crucified God. We murdered the Lord by our sins. And we've got to grasp the payment that that required. It was a totally unforgivable debt. Something requiring far more than 164,272 years. Even if we had all the time in eternity, we couldn't do it. The only one who could pay that infinite debt was the Lord Himself, who took on our flesh precisely to do it. We've got to grasp this. Most times we don't. We're kind of like the Jews in the first reading. Remember this whole scene of Ezekiel. Ezekiel has already been in the first installment of those who have been brought into exile. So they're all in this camp by the river Kabar. They've got these sort of mud walls. And God tells them, go form an exile bag. Kind of like, I'm never going to be in my home again. Let's take the valuables bag. Go make a hole through the mud wall. and head on outside and spend the night far away. Because he wanted everybody not just to hear the message, but to see the message. And over the course of the night, what were they saying? What was Ezekiel doing today? Does that mean our exile is over? Does that mean we're going to be packing up our bags and leaving this hellhole and going back to Jerusalem? Does that mean all our suffering's over, that God's now forgiven us and we're heading back? Next day, Ezekiel returns and says, no, this is describing what's going to happen to the people in Jerusalem. They're going to be joining us here in this hellhole. Because this is a rebellious house that hasn't really given up the heart of its rebellion, because it doesn't want to obey the Lord. They thought that their sins would be such that after a few years in Babylonian exile, that was it. And they needed much deeper repentance, and God was going to give it. We have to recognize our debt. And we've got to be willing to pay it, to try to pay it, and to enter into what pays it fully, which is the Lord. The second thing we've got to grasp is how the Lord really seriously calls us to mercy. Not just a little bit mercy, not mercy with our lips, but mercy with our words. And not just for the little peccadilloes of others. They said, I didn't really like your quiche. And so we forgive them. The people have really hurt. The drunk driver who mowed down one of our family members. The person who's made it her life goal to injure our reputation by gossiping about us falsely behind our back. Even when we've suffered abuse. The really big stuff too. The Lord's calling us to forgive others from the heart just like He has forgiven us first. And frankly, when we have an opportunity to forgive others the really big stuff, as hard as that is at one level, it is the greatest grace we will ever have, because it will be what conforms us more to the Lord in His mercy. When we really have to forgive somebody hard, that's when we can become most divine. The Lord in His mercy toward us has made us rich in mercy. Billionaires. Others, even when they really harm us, owe us $10,000. And we've been the recipient of so much mercy. If we've received it with a real heart, in a grateful heart, in a heart that acknowledges just how big our debt was that has been totally wiped out, then it makes it much easier for us to love others in the same way. Today we celebrate St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, and he shows us this truth in an unbelievably memorable way. Far more than Ezekiel packing his exile back and walking through a wall. We see it in what happened in Bunker 13. When he was just a little kid, he was a naughty boy, and he couldn't overcome his habit. So he went and he prayed to our Blessed Mother. He said, please help me, Mother. And she looked at him with love, and she presented to him two roses, one white, one red. Said that the white rose meant purity, the red rose meant martyrdom. Which would you choose? And he says, I take them both. And he had a premonition that he would be a martyr, but that he also had a premonition that Mary was going to help him remain pure, remain like the Lord, even in that stage of martyrdom. He may have been canonized if he didn't die in the concentration camp. He'd gotten two doctorates as a very young man in Rome. He came back, he founded a huge printing press, the largest monastery in the world with 800 monks, in a place that he called Neopokolonov, the City of the Immaculate in Poland. He was producing newspapers that had a subscription of 265,000 precisely against the Nazis. Eventually they were going to hunt him down, and they found him, and they put him in a terribly abusive prison where he was beaten into a pulp almost every day. He had a chance, if he really wanted to keep tabs, of saying 7 times, 8 times, 77 times, 78 times, 490 times, 491, 492. If he really wanted to keep it, he had so many opportunities to forgive. And that's before he was sent to Auschwitz. And in Auschwitz, of course, the priests were singled out for special abuse. But throughout it all, he was not going to harbor that cesspool of the lack of forgiveness, that venom of hatred. He was constantly forgiving the entire time. One of his fellow inmates was talking to him, about what his hopes were. And St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe said, almost everybody's hopes here is to escape somehow, to be free, to be able to go back to their wife and their kids, or to go back, if they're young enough, to their mom. My hope is that I'll have a chance to give my life for everyone. And on July 31st, 1941, when three inmates had escaped from his block, the commandant, Fritz, in order to deter anyone from trying to escape, said that 10 people from this block would now be put into the starvation bunker. So they started randomly calling out the names on which they had all been tattooed, because they were just beasts. And you called out Franciszek Gajowniczek's number. And he started to cry, "My wife, my family, what will become of them?" And that's when prisoner 16670, Father Maximilian Mary Kolbe, stood forward and he spoke in perfect German, because his dad was German. "I am a Catholic priest, and I ask you to let me die for that man." Commandant Fritz was a little bit blown away, and he just basically assented. So they went into the starvation bunker, where everyone else was angry, and Maximilian Mary Kolbe, in addition to hearing their confessions, started to teach them how to prepare for God, that starvation was only to increase their hunger for the Lord, that rather than being filled with hate at the end, to be filled with forgiveness. He was so accustomed to giving his rations of food to others that he could survive 14 days without food very easily. And after everyone else had died, when he was praying the rosary with them, celebrating dry masses with them, teaching them how to sing Gregorian chant, especially hymns to Our Lady that they would one day see, "After this exile, show us the blessed fruit of your womb." They came on in and they wanted the starvation bunker for others and wondered how long he would just be able to survive there. So they injected him with carbolic acid and killed him then. What was Maximilian Mary Kolbe's lesson about mercy? Mercy wasn't just words. We know that the Lord's mercy took the form of his dying for us on the cross to take away our sins. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Maximilian Mary Kolbe wanted to give his life for all men because he knew that he had received billions worth of the Lord's mercy, and he wanted to spend his entire life sharing that unbelievable largesse. When Jesus says to us at Mass, "Do this in memory of me," he doesn't merely mean, "Come and celebrate Mass in my memory." What he also means is, make this the whole standard of your life. Just like I have given my body and my blood for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, so give your body and your blood and your life in expiation for your sins and the sins of the whole world. This is the real standard of mercy. This is our exile bag. This is the way that after this exile, we will see the blessed fruit of Mary's womb, that immaculate womb. Today the Lord wants to give us, like Mary gave Maximilian Mary Kolbe, two roses. One of purity, purity of heart, that won't be sullied by the lack of mercy. And a rose of martyrdom, this real witness, which is what martyr means, this capacity to show the mercy of the Lord for others. Let us receive them both, together with the greatest gift we will ever receive, the gift that made Maximilian Mary Kolbe heroic under the biggest hellhole the world has ever seen. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.